Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 20th day of January, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is good grief. Before we start with the call, we do dedicate it to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumri Ambith. We are in the question and answer mode, which means, of course, everybody is muted at my end upon entering the call. If you wish to speak or make a comment, you just indicate that with a star 6 on your phone, or if you're on your computers, you would hit the ask question button. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And again, that's PastorDan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together, no spaces or special characters. And we do recommend, of course, that you check the Daily Mail page out there from time to time and the Listen Live page for any special broadcasts, etc. I did have a conversation with Downtown White Police, James Lancia, and he'll be coming on the program within the next week and a half to 2 weeks with a very special broadcast about what's going on today and some of the things he's involved with. So that'll be good news. We haven't heard from James in quite a while. And you might find the title for today just a little bit odd, Good Grief, because I got to be honest, I wasn't quite sure I was even going to do a broadcast today. For one of the first times in 21 years, I wasn't so sure I even wanted to say anything. The disappointment at yet another failure of government to do anything for us was astronomical today. Because we all said we'd give them to the 20th and see if anything happened. But, you know, we were given a clue about all this when the whole campaigning season, we were told that Hillary would be prosecuted for her crimes, and everybody knows she's guilty of crimes, including murder, and nothing was done. So that should have been a precursor. And then there was the revealing the hidden secrets about the shooting in Reno, Las Vegas, then Oklahoma City, 9/11, JFK. We were told yet again that this stuff would be put out there because those of us that have done any digging, we know that they lie to us about everything. And yet we're disappointed yet again. And then we're told, of course, that, well, stuff could still happen in the next week or so. And yeah, that's true. Something could happen in the next week or so, but why hasn't it happened up until now? That was my question. This character has been in office for 4 years. He sat in the driver's seat and picked swamp creature after swamp creature to be surrounding him, and so nothing actually got fixed. Unless, of course, you're a illegal immigrant. Okay, things got pretty good for the illegal immigrants. If you're anything but white, things got pretty good for you, too. A lot more employment, more bennies handed out. So now we have a huge illegal immigrant population in this country taking jobs that could go to our sons and daughters. The white man is further disenfranchised in the land that he started and created. Our founding fathers and everything that they put into place has been pretty much dismantled completely, including the Constitution, which was gutted years ago, folks. I guess that's my frustration. Not only the lies that we've been fed about the whole Trump's going to do this and that, and the white hats are going to do this and that. it's just the fact that when are the people themselves, going to get tired of this dog and pony show? Because I started really thinking about it. We know the Democrats are complete satanic communist devils. I mean, there's just no other word for them. But the rhinos, the Republicans claiming to be conservative, aren't a hell of a lot better. Most of them are just as bad. And yet the people still keep going back to the same well to get a drink of water. They keep doing the same things over and over and expect a different result. That's a form of insanity. Okay? Doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result is a form of insanity. And then, you know, you see this whole dog and pony show where this criminal is claiming to be the president as we speak. And then you see the absolute joke of a lineup of people he wants to put in charge, including the Jewish transsexual health administrator for the state of Pennsylvania, which I have family in Pennsylvania, and that person has been a complete retard and an abysmal failure from day one. And yet this creature, this abomination, is being touted as some kind of great help to humanity for what it did in Pennsylvania. And somehow this is going to be good for the country. I mean, we are the laughing stock of the entire world. You know that, right? I hope everybody here knows that. I mean, you've got aborigines in the jungles of Africa laughing at how retarded Americans are. You've got people in Siberia in remote areas sitting around laughing at the American people tonight. That we allow this kind of criminality to go on and on and on. At least in their cases, they know that they don't have a lot of power and that the people that rule over them, there's not much they can do. At least they recognize that. They don't try to kid themselves. Where Americans do. We like to law ourselves into a false security, believing that people will do the right thing when they continually demonstrate they will not do the right thing. And the present administration showed it to us for 4 years. It's not just today. This has been going on for 4 years. When Sessions was in there and then he was replaced by another swamp creature, Barr, we all said, why is Barr in there? Okay, so once again, the indicators were telling us that nothing is going to change in the swamp because the swamp runs the swamp. And Trump runs amongst the swamp creatures. He came out of the swamp creatures. He socializes with swamp creatures. He goes to party with swamp creatures. His family's married into the swamp. Why in the hell would anybody think that individual is going to make a change? So now the taxpayers paid ungodly amounts of money to have the military show up in state capitals and in the White House area, the Capitol, to put on a show for what? To show that there's no way any kind of citizens' uprising would have an effect, even though nobody in his right mind would have gone in there with that despot pretending to be inaugurated. So here again, if there's anything being done out there, because people are still saying, oh, don't worry, you know, it's something good is really going to happen. Well, I'm going to go back to what I've been saying from day one. Why are you hiding it? Why all this subterfuge? Why all of this constant hiding of what you're doing? If you actually exist, if you're actually doing anything good. Maybe we need to come to face the conclusion that there are no decent people at any level of power in the United States. Maybe some of my friends and relatives in the last 2 days who have called me and said, you know, for the first time in my life, I'm ashamed to call myself an American. Yeah, I have been getting plenty of phone calls in the last 48 hours. None of them are good. Every one of them was, "I am ashamed to be called an American." In fact, there were a few calls of, "Is there any country that would welcome red-blooded, testosterone-filled males and their families? Is there a country that would welcome them in this world today? Because we're not welcome here. We've been disenfranchised, and most of the white people don't seem to give a damn." I've been screaming from the right rooftops for decades, at least 4 decades, 40 years. That's a generation. Been screaming to anybody that would listen. But, after 40 years of screaming, I guess I'm pretty much at the point where I don't know that there is any hope for the white race. Certainly not in America, and if it's not going to survive in America, it may not survive anywhere. So, like I said, it was really difficult to decide to want to even come on tonight, because normally I try to be very upbeat because I have a lot of faith, and I still have faith in my father, don't get me wrong. This has nothing to do with my personal walk with the King of Kings. I guess it has to do more with the fact that I'm so disappointed in my race. I'm disappointed in the people that have been given so much in every way possible, and yet they just don't want to get together. They just don't want to organize. They don't want to put their petty differences to the side so that they can unite around something. We can't agree on anything. We are so triggered, we are so pampered, we are so soft that we can't seem to organize and get together over anything, even an existential threat like what's happening right now with an absolute communist takeover of our nation. It's bad enough that the administration, year after year after year, is doing everything it can to empower the non-whites and disenfranchise white people in our own land. And yet white people just don't give a damn. They have bought the lies, they drank the Kool-Aid, they accepted the Jewish electronic shekels to buy their acquiescence and their silence. And so they meekly cower in their homes while the enemy just runs roughshod over our nation. And once they get done subduing this land, they will proceed to the other white nations. Make no mistake about it. So I guess that's the great disappointment. I trust the Father in all things. In my life, I have never seen a time when things did not work to the betterment for me personally. No matter what kind of grim circumstances I found myself in. So I have no doubt that somehow, some way, all of this will work to my benefit in the long run in my journey as I walk with Father Yahweh. I'm not putting any doubt to that. What I'm doubting is my own judgment in thinking that after 21 years of trying to put truth out there, that I thought I would make a difference. I guess that's the saddest part of all. Dedicating 21 years to awaken a noble race of people who just don't give a damn. I mean, what other conclusion could you get when you have an enemy who has entered the gates and is ravaging your nation, ravaging your economy, ravaging your people and turning animals loose on us, burning your cities, burning your culture to the ground, and still the white people sit around with their thumbs up their asses. And again, excuse my French, but we're too late into this game. As James Lancey and I were talking, it's not time now to worry about whether somebody's triggered over a bad word. I really don't care at this point. If you're triggered over bad words, then go listen to somebody else. So it'll preach you a nice, soft, easy message and make you feel good as the Titanic sinks with everybody on board going down with it. I guess that's the sad part. Many of us have worked so damn hard for so long to try to shake some sense into our people and to see so little of a result. It's disappointing. And to have hopes that there would be some semblance of decency in Washington or the Pentagon or state capitals, and to find out that they have been completely compromised. And to watch the very people who crucified Christ, denounced him as a heretic, had him tortured and murdered. These people, the Christian white people, protect them. The Christian white people turn their backs on their own kind to protect the very people who murdered the Messiah who came to redeem his kinsmen. You want to talk about something that's sad? Can you imagine what Messiah must feel as he looks at the behavior of the people that he came and tried to redeem 2,000 years ago? He did redeem those that would listen, but so many don't care. I guess this is what he meant when he was asked about the remnant at the end of the age, and he said, my flock is a tiny flock. He talked about, will I find faith on the earth? No, you won't find faith, Father Yahweh. You won't. Our people don't have any faith. That's why they look to despots in Washington and despots in state capitals and despots at the county level. They look to idols and despicable people and think that they're going to get justice from the wicked. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're asking the wicked to please be merciful. You're asking your taskmaster, Israelites, oh, please, can we make bricks with straw again? Can we have some straw to make the bricks? You're asking for crumbs from your master's table when you're the owner of the table and you're the owner of what sits on the table. But you've allowed it to be reversed. Everything is upside down today, and you seem to be quite comfortable with it. The white race is a mockery of what it's supposed to be today. We keep looking to Democrat or Republican lawmakers and sycophants as if they're going to do something for us. When are we going to learn? Maybe that was the lesson today was to teach you. Shame on you for looking for man-made institutions to come to your rescue. Shame on you for thinking the people that have been lying and robbing and raping you for generations all of a sudden are going to grow consciences and care. A military-industrial complex that murders people by the hundreds of thousands across this world all of a sudden cares? Dropping more bombs during this current administration than even the despot that was before? Did you know that? We were told our soldiers, our young men and women, would come home where they should be here, but there's too much money to be made being the club for the Zionist pigs out of Jerusalem. And as long as we're making good money, then what do we care about murdering Iraqis or Serbians or Libyans? What do we care? What do we care? We'll turn a blind eye to that because, after all, money's good. We're still making bombs. We're still making jet fighters. We're still giving our enemies all the supplies they want. We allow treason to exist within our ranks and do nothing about it. I guess that's the biggest disappointment. We talk and we talk and we explain and we show scripturally and commonsensically what's wrong, and it doesn't seem to make a hell of a lot of difference. I want to remind everybody that I've got Adam being my co-host, and I keep an eye on the chat for me. And if you would let me know by either sending me a text or jumping on by unmuting yourself, Adam, if something shows up there that's really needs my attention, okay? Because I don't have time to read everything coming in. And again, I apologize for that, because I think that part of my job is to stay positive, to stay uplifting for my brothers and sisters as much as I can. But today, I got to be honest with you, today was a huge disappointment on a personal level. And again, this has nothing to do with the ultimate plan of our Heavenly Father to bring about His will upon this earth. That nothing can stop that. Nothing can stop that. But we don't have His playbook laying out in front of us. A lot of people say, well, the scripture is the playbook. Well, that's if you're properly interpreting it. But you know, the people that wrote those scriptures lived thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. And they had idiomatic expressions that they used to convey their thoughts. And if you're not familiar with those expressions, you could get the message incorrectly, couldn't you? And I know there's a lot of people say, well, God wouldn't allow that to happen. Really? So you think our Heavenly Father was inspiring every translator of our English texts? Is that what you're telling me? If that's true, then why do so many of these English Bibles have differences? Why is that same Greek phrase translated 20 different ways in 20 different translations if they're all inspired? That's why ultimately I will put my faith in what the Holy Spirit will tell me during prayer time and at other times even. So, and you know, and a lot of people say, "Well, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You're blaspheming Yahweh by putting down the Bible." Well, I don't think I am, because the Bible was given to us by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church decided what would be in it. It wasn't Yahweh. The Catholic Church, made up of men, fallible men, by the way, decided what was scriptural and what wasn't. They decided what books would stay in it and which books would not be in it. And they even burned people at the stake for rendering interpretations different than the political Catholic Church had put out upon as their interpretation. And you couldn't disagree with it. They'd actually hunt people down and murder them and burn them at the stake, calling them heretics for disagreeing with men. So we've had governments, we've had devils over us for a very long time. Maybe Father's waiting for us to finally reach the point where we're saying, you know, I'm done with man-made government. I'm done trusting the arm of flesh. It lies continually. It murders continually. It disappoints continually. When are my people going to get upon their knees and beg me for my guidance? Can you see Father Yahweh saying that? When are my people going to forsake these despots who wish to rule over us, rape us and rob us, murder us and send us to no-win wars? When are we going to turn away from them and turn to the Father? And when you do that, he said he'll heal your land. How does he heal your land? Do you think maybe he sends you righteous leaders? Because every philosopher that ever amounted to a hill of beans always said that you want your very best people to be the ones that you listen to be the ones that you either put into a position of authority or you would listen to their counsel. And you would obey it because it's wise counsel. You have been programmed to think that a body of people calling themselves government is automatically demanding and you need to respect their, quote, authority. As some of these upstart pieces of dog meat have said recently, if we make a law, it's automatically constitutional, just the fact that we made it. This is the kind of arrogance that these people have. But our founding fathers understood that, and that's why they put rules about who would be allowed to be in positions of authority. But ultimately, it's you, the people, who hold your leaders accountable. Ultimately, it's you. As the founding fathers' documents said, all power is inherent in the people. Why? Because the people greatly outnumber these sons of bitches. You have been mesmerized and brainwashed to the point where you think this handful of miscreants have the right to dictate terms to you, when the fact of the matter is that it's the other way around. But you can't do that if you don't have leadership. You see, that's the one thing the white man does not have today. The enemy has very successfully divided us on just about every issue you can imagine. When the white men decide to put all these inconsequential matters to the side and focus around some key issues and pick leaders to follow, those leaders will lead them into a battle. And they will lead them to victory. Because when our people come to an agreement, when our people come to one accord with each other, and they pick their leaders from the best of their men, they're invincible. But as long as we squabble with each other, as long as we stick knives in each other's backs, as long as we think this little cabal of misfits and degenerates have authority over us, we will continue to be enslaved and taken advantage of. I had a bunch of quotes that I had recently got, and some of them are very appropriate for what we're talking about right now. If you give me just a second, I'm going to try to get them up there. Now, these quotes were sent to me by email, and I saved them and I broadcasted them out, and I'm going to post them on my website as well because they're very appropriate. Let me see if I can find some of them here. Now, here is a Japanese samurai code, Bushido. Now, I want you to remember something. Samurai means servant. And isn't it interesting that the samurai of Japan try to dress and make themselves look like white men? Because the Hilgado people and the Ainu people of Japan in the ancient times were the white men that lived there, lived up in the highlands, much as they did in the northwestern portion of what we call India today. The Brahmins were Aryan men, and the Brahmins were considered magistrates or gods. The word we use, god, in ancient tongues often meant somebody in authority, whether it was a supernatural authority or a man-made authority. It was people who had authority. So the samurai code says the only solution for bad and violent people are good people that are more skilled in violence. Did you catch that? The only solution for bad and violent people are good people that are more skilled in violence. In other words, when you're dealing with despots and violent people and criminals, the only thing they understand is force. That's the only thing they understand. We got another one in here. Now, they give this credit to somebody with the initials J.I., and I'm not sure who they meant that to be, but it says, wishing no harm to enemies is wishing harm to ourselves and our children. Does that nail it? Wishing no harm to our enemies. In other words, being lackadaisical about the fact that you have an enemy at work in your land. The enemy is within the gates. You're still standing up on the ramparts of the walls of the city looking for an enemy when the enemy's already behind you within the city, eating away at the foundations. But you're still up on the wall, folks. The enemy's already inside. So wishing no harm to enemies is the equivalent of wishing harm to ourselves and our children. It reminds me of the Spartan warrior that's in one of the memes, and he's going away to battle, and he's got his helmet and his shield and spear and sword, and he says, I go not forward to battle because I hate who's in front of me. I'm going to battle because I love those behind me. You know, our men don't go to battle because they enjoy violence. Only somebody mentally ill does that. We abhor violence. However, when you give us no choice, as these quotes are talking about, if you give us no choice, then it is violence that will be visited upon our enemies. And they're trying to make laws right now for people that say such things as to make them out that they're white supremacists or they're domestic terrorists. That's the language of the brainwashing communist subversives. Okay? The insurrectionists use language like that, just like they did in Russia towards the Tsar and the White Russian army. They use the same kind of rhetoric and the same kind of banners, the same kind of character assassination. But what the poor simpletons out here don't understand is once the communists come to full power, they're going to turn on you. So they may have us white guys targeted right now. White guys that still have some testosterone in their veins. But eventually, they'll get around to you, too. Now, here's another quote by whoever J.I. is. It says, a people cannot know love unless they are willing to kill those who destroy it. Okay? Does that make sense? A people cannot know love unless they are willing to kill those who destroy it.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Didn't want to slow your roll, but a couple of comments that line up with what you're saying. One is from Lane earlier about the best time to have a skit. Well, I guess the best time to counterattack is sooner rather than later, because the longer you wait, the more obstacles you have to overcome. And I think that lines up pretty well with what you're saying, because there's the argument that we don't want to stick our heads out because they're going to label us white supremacists and there's going to be someone on our knocking on our door. But as time goes by, that likelihood increases, but also their argument against us, I think, increases and convinces our enemies to amass. So I don't know if that's a ramble, but it seemed to support what you were saying.
Yeah, that does sound good. You sound a little bit on the low side as far as volume. Do you have it turned down a little, or is it my headset?
Oh, I might. Is it still low?
A tiny bit. It's not super bad.
Okay. I turned up the sensitivity a little bit.
Okay.
And then John wanted to say that with the corona crap and lockdowns, my school of thought is when the people put on the masks, they enslaved themselves. And he says, this could have been avoided if the people were not so stupid.
Well, stupid and cowardly. Right. Yeah, that's a good comment.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to throw those out there, and I'll let you continue.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, Adam. Okay, Angel sends in from Psalm number 2, starting at verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. See, that's why I say I'm not disappointed in Father Yahweh. I don't believe that he is to blame for our situation. And in our personal walks, each and every one of us can still have that strong faith and realize that somehow, just like Noah and his family, we can come through any obstacles that are put out there. Or as the Old Testament prophets told us, no weapon that's formed against us can prevail, as long as we stay faithful to the Father. But I would also say that as long as we stay faithful to each other. Because remember, when Christ walked the earth, when Yahweh put on flesh, he said, if you love me, obey my commandments. And he also said to love each other as I have loved you. How many of our people can say that they have that kind of love for their brethren? Okay. So Messiah loved our people so much for he was willing to go through whatever trial or tribulation it was for their betterment. So he said, if you love me, then love one another. So there's two conditions that if we could just hang on to those two, we would come through almost any fire. But I'm telling you, a lot of people are so far outside of that venue, it's unbelievable. And again, we talk about the people with the dirty diapers on their face. They have enslaved themselves. It's amazing to me how many people are doing that. I mean, I'm still dumbfounded by just the sheer number and the sheer lack of intestinal fortitude these people have. They have no courage. They have no backbone at all. Just unbelievable. I got an email today from Michael, who is the author of the book that I quote from time to time. And he sent this email to me, and I thought it was worth sharing with you. It's just a short one. And he said, there is nothing I love more than to feel, to see, to recognize the Spirit of Yahweh God in my life and work. There is nothing I love more than Yahweh God, more than Yahshua HaMashiach. Glory to God, my friend. Let us be strong and of good courage. Trust in Yahweh God, do good, and live in faith. Wise words from a mortal man. Wise word. Obviously filled with the Spirit. If more of our people felt that way, we wouldn't be in this fix. We would be shouting to glory to God in the highest, and we would obey him, and we would obey what our prophets told us in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and throughout Scripture. We would be sure to find us righteous men and make them our leaders. We don't need an election run by criminal government with corrupt computer programs to elect leaders. We don't. All we need to do is come together as men and in front of each other in total transparency declare who our leaders will be. That's all we have to do. In ancient times, a commander like King David would go to his commanders and his soldiers, and he would stand on a high point, and he would proclaim what he felt was a threat to the people. And then he would say, I am going to war. He didn't say, I'm going to send you to war. He said, I am going to go out and meet this threat. Will you come with me? You see, there's quite a difference there, isn't there, than these cowards and sycophants and bastards that try to get us to do their fighting for them today. The true leader of Yahweh is going to go to battle with or without anybody behind him. He will do like King David did against Goliath. And then he would ask the men from that high from that high point, he would ask the men if they felt he was justified or righteous in his thoughts and desire to go to war. And if they agreed with him, the tradition used to be that they would take their swords and they would bang them on their shields. And the louder the noise, obviously, the more support the king knew he had. And he could tell whether or not he was going to be out there all by himself or not. So, again, instead of trying to lead by pushing others to do things, a true leader goes walking out in front to face the enemy. He explains why they're going out there. He explains what the threat is, and then determines that he's going to do all in his power to stop it. All the men have to do is decide that that's the guy we think is going to lead us to victory. That's the guy we think has our best interests at heart. That's the guy that walks the walk with Father Yahweh and brings divine guidance into our battle plans. We don't do that anymore. We go to war because we believe we must, even when we don't believe them to be honest reasons, even when we know they're dishonest. We still go. That's the sign of a slave. That's not a free man. A free man has somebody like a King David appeal to his logic and reason, appeal to his sense of duty to his family, to his kin, and to his country. We don't do that anymore. It's time for Jacob Israel, the white race, to realize that we have no advocates amongst these other races. There may be some that feign that they're our friends and everything else, but when push comes to shove, do you think they're going to jeopardize their lives, their families against the others of their kind in defense of you? There may be a handful here and there, but I'm talking about in general, no, they are not. And all the white race has to do is decide that enough is enough. And go look for the men that have the calling of the Most High upon them. It's not that hard to figure out. Go back and read Malachi chapter 4 again. Read Obadiah verse 18 again. Ezekiel 25, verse 14, again. You have been given the clues. The Father has sent you leaders. Now he's waiting to see where the men are. Those that have the discernment to know. And realize that we don't owe our allegiance, we don't owe our livelihood, we don't owe our lives to the wicked. In this country, we have a constitution and they take an oath of office. Whether they take it properly or not, the principle is still the same. They're not allowed and they have no jurisdiction if they do not take the oath to obey the constitution. And as soon as they break that oath, they have lost all power. They have lost all authority to hold that position. They are operating under the color of law. They are traitors. going to be interesting as we go forward. It really is, to see who the righteous are, where the real men are, where are the real warriors, or don't we have any anymore? Makes you wonder at the sorry state of this country and the abysmal record that we have. It does make you wonder if we have any. So I see you there, Gary. I'll get you here in just a second, buddy. Hang on there a minute. I'm trying to write some things down here. So, again, I was not happy with what transpired today. And here's the other thing I was not happy about. There were some people who were putting their reputations on the line saying that these creatures would never sit in the White House. And I guess I don't know if these criminals have actually entered the White House yet or not, because I'm not following any of it. It makes me ill to follow any of this stuff. I don't want to hear their voices. I don't watch anything at all about them. I don't even want to hear about them. They are criminals. They are traitors. And they should be locked up. And then they should be prosecuted. So, but it appears, anyway, at this time, that we're on our own, which, again, that is exactly fits in line with the father saying, if you're going to trust these wicked men, you ask for this. You ask for earthly kings. This is what you get. Especially when you turn your back on the process, when you don't hold them accountable. And in America, we don't hold anybody accountable for anything. Certainly not the wicked. The righteous will be persecuted unjustly, but the wicked, they can pretty much get away with murder even. Like the Hillarys and the Podestas and the rest of the ilk that walk this earth, thumbing their noses at us, laughing as we believe that somebody in Washington or the Pentagon's actually going to do anything good for us. It's sick, actually. Gary, welcome to the program, buddy.
How are you tonight, Pastor?
Well, I've been better.
Yeah, I think you just told us how you felt. I was listening to what you were talking about, and started, you know, going through my little computer. And this guy that was sworn in today, first of all, if he took an oath and he lied, because we know he's not going to do that, he lied to get into office. I mean, the whole United States was shown who they voted into office. And it certainly wasn't this guy. We have a Supreme Court justice who denied allowing it to go before the judges so the truth could prevail. So we've seen nothing but dishonesty everywhere. And then we have some of the top dogs, well, the top dog of the Senate, stand up there and start shooting his mouth off. And I'm going, where do we get justice? I mean, geez, we voted. It doesn't make any difference whether you like Trump or not. He was voted in office overwhelmingly. But this dirtbag, you know, that's probably got 30% of the vote, if he got that, he's in office. Loaded with lies got him in there. And then he stands up there in front of everybody and says he's going to obey the Constitution. What a joke. And then he had maybe 2,000 to 3,000 people there. You'd have more than that in the ring with Trump. You know, so we got the obvious being shown. Now, you did mention the Savior in all this. Maybe he needs to have us go through a little bit more of a stomping. I mean, to me, there should have been stomping already. Should have been some gallows made.
Well, if that's my whole point, Gary. If we had righteous leaders there would be none of this game playing. This would have been solved a long time ago. But our people want to stay with the system. Our people don't think outside the box. They seem to be trapped in this paradigm, and they don't have any faith. They don't have any faith. Let's face it, they don't. They don't have any faith in natural healing. They don't have any faith in natural foods. They run to the stores and buy all the garbage with the dyes and the MSG and high fructose corn syrup. To them, it doesn't make a difference. I've had people say that. Well, what difference does it make? It tastes good to me. Well, it's destroying your joints. It's destroying your body. It should make a difference. Well, I don't care about that. I'm going to die one day anyway, Diane. I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want to eat.
They say that until it happens.
Okay, that kind of mentality. How do you work with people like that?
They say that until it happens.
Oh, I know.
I can't even lift my arm, a joint. Well, I remember telling you X amount of time ago that if you kept eating that, that was going to happen. You just told me, you know, what difference does it make? So why are you complaining to me? I told the person I was too. Why are you complaining to me? We hear that if you drink and drink excessively and do all the things that drinking does, like going into a bar, you know, where there's pool tables and beer and women, you know, what do you think you're going in there for? You know, I just want to get a drink. No, you're in there all night. You got a wife and four kids at home, and you're in there spending the children's money. You see, that is no longer his money. That belongs to them and the wife that took you by your word. See, we don't do that anymore. So, you know, I have to agree with you. You know, we're sitting there. We've done all kinds of things to throw stuff on our face. You know, if we were a people, when this happened, that guy would have never made it to the platform to take the oath. Never. Something would have happened. You know, I'm sitting there waiting all day long for Trump or somebody to get up and say something. Nothing. Well, actually, it wasn't, because we went to listen to another politician that spoke here locally. And Elka took him to task. And he was up there moving all around. Because she asked him some straight, pointed questions. Here you got a little woman, a German woman from Germany, having to do the work that we're supposed to be doing. She was doing,
right.
She's the one that had all the paperwork with all the facts. And she told me she's already been through all this before. Oh, even though she's second generation from it, or whatever you want to call it, you know, her parents went to war. It was her uncles that got killed. It was her uncles, he saw she's from Germany, so they got captured, they got put in gulags and all that, you know. So she's up there, you know, with real good information about that. And so when she's asking these questions, she knows. I'm telling you, you guys are taking the same train as they did, and it didn't work. So, you know, it's just absolutely amazing. When you have a bunch of German women from Germany, for instance, that are putting all this together, asking the politicians and doing all this other BS, and nothing's happening, except that there was a court. There was a court case, I think it was even from the state appellate court, that told, our governor told him that this is unconstitutional, we can't do this. You know what he did? I think he used it and blew his nose on it and threw it in the trash can. Because he didn't care. Newsom. Gavin Newsom. And, you know, when you have the top court, or one of the top courts, making a decision, that's what they're put there for. When the government gets out of line, they make the decision, and the government has to get back in line. Well, here, this guy played king. He didn't have to listen to the court. This was just recently. And it was on the issue, you know, wearing diapers on your face and have to lock yourself in your house and all the junk that they're doing that violates the Constitution. And they're taking, they say, we're going under the health codes. Since when does it say in the Constitution that you have to go by a health code? Well, it does say in there about, you know, people are in danger. It's amazing how this stuff is spread so thin you can see through it, the crap they're using.
Well, this is what you get when immoral people are given power, okay? And that's why the Founding Fathers and the Scriptures warned us never to do that. You're supposed to only have moral men of high caliber, high character, that have been proven through time to be consistent and to be rational, especially elders. You don't put people that are too young in there because their hormones are out of whack and they're too young. You want people that have tread a few miles down the road. They've experienced things. They've got wisdom from age. That's why they called them graybeards. You want the graybeards to sit in council with one another and be your leaders. Even the old stories about the American Indians and stuff, many of them were white, some of them weren't, but many of them came from European stock. And even in their traditions, who did they go to for before they would go to war? If they had a big decision to make for the whole group, they would go talk to the elder. They would go talk to one of the oldest members of the tribe sitting in his tent, and they would go in and they would revere him and they would listen to him. We don't do that. We don't venerate the old. We don't do any of the common sense things that the Scripture tells us to do or that our ancestors did to keep us on a straight and narrow path for thousands of years. That kept us whole. The enemy has been able to get in and divide us on almost every issue.
Well,
so that we don't have that cohesiveness. Young people don't respect our elders anymore.
That's true.
Okay? Our people in general don't respect leadership that's moral. They want leaders that will give them more free stuff than the other guy gets. They consider that successful. I'm going to vote for the politician that'll put more work in my district or bring my property values up more or any other lame excuse for why they support somebody rather than being moral. We don't give any credence to morality anymore, which is tantamount to saying that we have turned our backs on our Father. We've turned our backs on the Creator.
Pastor, you did say something earlier to that issue. Okay, and it was right on point. King David didn't run to a tent. He ran to the Lord, Jesus the Christ. Or at that time, Yahweh. And he talked to him about these issues. And when he made the decision that Yahweh said this, King David was out in the front row. He was right there. Shoot at me. You know, and he was leading. Leaders lead. King David led. Our leaders don't lead. Our leaders sit in the back row, you know, and doing bad stuff while they send other people to do the job. If they got something in the fire, you know, it makes a difference. And we don't have it, you know, our people don't have it. Now, I have to say Trump did put something in. The man was a billionaire. He didn't have to do nothing. He had it made. He had lots of money. Just kickbacking. I mean, this guy had his own jet plane, his own yachts, everything. He made the money. Him and his dad helped him out. But he put his money on the line, put his money where his mouth was. For real.
Yeah, but he could afford to do that because he was guaranteed he wouldn't lose any.
Well, that's probably that too.
Okay, it's not hard to do that when you're, first of all, if you're a billionaire, the pittance they pay for the presidency is chump change to a billionaire. So that's really no skin off his nose. Plus, there could be all kind of backdoor deals he was doing, so long as he goes along with the regime or the cabal. So yeah, to us on the surface, that's all part of the dog and pony show, the kabuki theater. Oh, I'm not going to take a dollar for being in the presidency. Well, again, that's chump change, okay? If I'm a multimillionaire and somebody wants me to do a job that normally pays $25,000 a year, for me to go in and say, well, I'll go ahead and do it for nothing, well, that's because it was chump change to begin with. So,
well, we had a whole bunch of those guys in there, the Bushes.
When are we going to realize that the very creatures that created our problems are not going to fix our problems? When are we going to figure that out?
They're not.
Okay. These creatures created the problem. What makes any reasonable person think that these same creatures are going to fix the problem? Now, I didn't support any political solution ever. I said it has to be a military one. And I'm still saying it has to be a military one.
Well,
that was the only thing that I saw that was any good at all is if it was a military operation and Trump was just part of it. Because personally, I don't care for the guy. So the point of it was we were putting our hopes that the military actually was doing something for us. But as of today, I don't know that I see any sign that they're doing a damn thing for us.
Well, they're there. They're not doing a lot. Well, Hillary Clinton said she could fix everything.
Wow. They say lots of things. Unfortunately, our people believe them, allow them to go into office when they are immoral. They are not godly. They're not moral. They're not even patriots. They are anti-Christ. They are anti-American. They're anti-white. So I don't know what our people are thinking. I really don't know. If every believer just simply refused to acknowledge that these creatures have any authority, because they don't. Once they step outside of God's law, they lose every right to be listened to have any authority. They lose it.
No, I use Hillary Clinton just jokingly. I mean, because she...
I know. Yeah.
And here... Here's what the people are going to, here's what those people that voted for her did. This woman, everybody knows she was an absolute murderer. Every time somebody took her to bed, that was the last person they took to bed. Because after that, they were dead. She killed them. She killed lots of people. How many of those people in that place where all black people are, did she kill? You go on down the line, you know, Haiti. If you go on down the line, and between her and her husband, how many people were murdered? The Bushes, how many people have they murdered? I mean, it was on TV. Old man Bush was in a wheelchair. This guy's getting ready to get out of here. And there's this woman there in front of him. He reaches out and grabs him. Yeah?
Hey, sorry, that was like four tries. Gary, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Dan, I wanted to just... It seems clear to all of us, I think, that we have to create our... We have to forget about Trump, as Ralph is saying in the chat, and we have to create... We have to create our own, I don't even know what to call it, group, movement, lobbying party, if you want to go the political route. But it seems clear that we have to just probably start thinking about our own party or our own movement of some sort. We need to recreate our nation. And if that means the people, I'm just thinking out loud, how can we go about movement away from this nonsense we've tolerated for the last however long and towards an actual grouping up of our people? Because we have, Dan, you've done a lot of work, and you said something at the beginning of the show that it seems like you're not making a difference, but I don't know. I found your show, everyone here tunes in frequently. So we're here. We just need to make some kind of stand and start pushing our own, or not ours, but Yahweh's agenda and his law. We need to, I don't know, you guys, if you have thoughts on that, but that's what keeps coming to mind for me.
Well, I can say...
Part of the thing is that he told us to come out of Babylon. He didn't tell us to conquer Babylon. He said, come out of it because I'm going to destroy it. So all we need to do is figure out a location, whether it's a county or a state, and just pick it and say, go there. And once we're there, operate just like the Amish and say, we're not going to listen to your rules and regulations. You have no authority over us. We belong to the King of Kings, and you just don't have any authority.
Well, Pastor Dan, I hate to, I love to say this. You've been on the air how long?
21 years.
20 years ago, I started listening to Pastor Dan, and I'm still listening. And I have seen your audience grow. You've been on different networks, and you keep growing. Obviously, God has anointed you to do something. And out of you, other people have come. As a matter of fact, Pastor Eli, who has an audience, a lot of people don't like him, but he still has an audience. You know, and he's a Christian, and he's grown. And other people have grown out of your station, out of what you said. So what you said does have an effect, and it does help. You know, these are the things that a lot of us, well, it's just me, you know, who wants to listen to me? Well, I want to listen to Pastor Dan, so when somebody talks bad about us, you know, turn the radio station. I don't want him off the air because I enjoy what he has to say. So, Pastor, what you have to say is important.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Like I said, I think what Adam is talking about and the other people in the chat and everything is very right. And I believe that with everybody's hopes being dashed as they have been, as of today, we gave them till today to see if there was a military. I never did expect Trump to do anything because Trump had 4 years and disappointed me in all 4 years. What I was hoping to see was that a military intervention was going to stop a total dictatorial communist takeover, and it didn't happen. So some people are saying, well, it could still happen, but you know, I'm not gonna hold my breath waiting for the military to do a damn thing at this point. The point of it is, we who call ourselves believers, we who call ourselves Aryan and worshiping the creator of this earth, we have a commission to separate ourselves from these heathens that don't believe in him and don't worship the creator and his law. They don't. We need to separate from them. Even if there were no God, even if all that's a fantasy, we still need to separate from them because we're different people. We operate by a different standard. They do not have the same cultural beliefs we do. And trust me, I'm down here in southern Florida living amongst heathen, and some of them are white heathen. I'm going to tell you, it is painful every single day because these people don't respect property rights. They don't respect your language. They don't respect your customs. They are racist. They say we're racist. We're nothing compared to them. All right? So I see that the fact every single day why he said to keep ourselves isolated from these other people. It's okay to if they behave themselves to help them out. That's okay, but you do not allow them to become your neighbor. You do not allow them to marry into your family. You don't allow them to do that. That is mixing, okay? And we're not supposed to do that.
Well, you know, Pastor, we were in a restaurant today. We were enjoying our breakfast. Next thing you know, this table next to us filled up all speaking Mexican. You know, you look, we looked around, it's over 60% Mexican. Of course, we live in San Diego, and that's what you can expect. And when we first moved here, that wasn't like that. It was white. And now, as I'm older, Mexican. So other people are taking over our country. And they're speaking Mexican. Now, I know my wife, and she has friends that are Germans. Guess what they speak when they're in a group? English. And I asked them, why do you guys do that? Because they said, we have respect for the country that we're in. You know, so we speak their language. They don't speak German. All of them speak German fluently. You can, you know, they talk with them English with a brogue, so you know they're from another country. But they're not like the Mexicans come over here and disrespect the crap out of us.
Well, here again, it's what we tolerate. You know, when are we going to stop tolerating disobedience? When are we going to hold people accountable? When are we going to hold our own children accountable? When are we going to hold our wives accountable? When are we going to hold our elders accountable? We don't hold anybody accountable for anything. That's probably one of the greatest disappointments on my time spent here on Earth, in my adult life anyway, is the fact that I grew up under a very strict set of rules. I was used to that, and it served me my entire life. When I went in the military, first I was in sports, so when other people were complaining about the coach being hard or he hit me or he made me do too many push-ups or whatever, those were nothing compared to my childhood because we had chores to do and we were expected to get them done. If I did something wrong, I expected to be punished. If there was hard things to do, I was expected to get them done and stop bitching about it. So when I played sports, the coach was nothing to me. When I went into the military and basic training, that drill instructor was nothing compared to the elders and my father and mother in my childhood. So they prepared me well because these people were actually easy on me compared to them. And then I get into the real world and I find out that in the real world, they don't expect anything from anybody. Now, in basic training, the TI would get on people that weren't performing well and whatever, so there was a little difference there, but that was a very small segment of society. When you get out into the big area, in the corporate world, or in the courtrooms, or in the halls of government, you find out it's a bunch of frickin' wussies that don't hold anybody accountable to anything. And then you look at the people, and they're a bunch of wussies. They don't hold anybody accountable for anything. That's why we got the mess we got right here, because our Father in heaven gave us rules, and he said, I'm a jealous God. I will not allow you to worship anybody but me, meaning give your reverence to or your obedience to. And today we give our obedience to a bunch of criminals, pedophiles, and turn our back on the very creator who made us. We turn our back on even our ancestors.
Well, Pastor, I got one thing to say to all of that, and that's just sit there and look at what they've done. They've let all the prisoners that were in prison out of prison, they allowed them to come amongst the populace. Now, these are rapists, murderers, bank robbers, you name it. They got to come out here amongst all of us. What's going on here?
It's a communist takeover, Gary. It's textbook. Anybody that wants to know what's going on, just go read the textbooks of what the communist Bolshevik Jews did to Russia 100 years ago. It's exactly the same. It's nothing new under the sun.
As you're saying those things, it just comes to my mind, you know, you look in the states who the governors are, you look in the cities who the mayors are and who the leadership is, and they're all Democrats. And Democrats are the party of the communists. Why are we so stupid we can't see that? You know,
look, we do see it. The problem is they stole it right out from under you. They're rubbing your nose in it, and I'm wondering where the white men are. Where are the ancestors of the founders of this country? Where are the ancestors of the Vikings? Where are the ancestors of the Norsemen? Where are the ancestors of the Highlanders of Scotland, the ancestors of the Fighting Irish, the ancestors of the Welshmen? That's what I want to know.
The ancestors of the Germans during World War II, they were the ones, you know, everybody's going to say all kinds of stuff, and I don't give a crap. They were the ones that were standing up against communism. The United States had a Jewish president, and he was fighting with the communists. Against Hitler, who was fighting the communists. And he didn't do anything. It was the Japanese that attacked the United States, not Hitler. And yet we're all talking about Hitler and how bad he is. Let me see if I got this straight. The Japanese attacked us because of some things we were doing to them.
You know why, right?
Well, it had to do with economics.
No, it had to do with the fact that the American people, who are predominantly Germans, would not go to war with Germany a second time. They got fooled into the First World War because Wilson said, I didn't go to war during his first administration. I kept you out of war, so reelect me, and I'll keep you out of war again. And as soon as he got reelected, he put us in war. And that was tricking us into fighting our cousins. And so when the Second World War came around, Roosevelt and the rest of the cabal could tell that the American people were not going to get snookered into another German war against their own people. And so they schemed a plan. Since Japan and Germany were allies, this is how the Jewish mind works. They figured they could goad the Orientals into attacking some portion of the United States, and that would give them a pretext for declaring war on Japan, which would automatically be a war, a pretext, or not a pretext, but a declaration of war against Germany. And as soon as that happened, even General MacArthur wrote this in his book, American Caesar. It was amazing. He said, Japan attacked us, but all of the resources went to Europe to fight Germany. Almost nothing was given to him to fight the Japanese. That's why it took so long to defeat Japan, because all of the resources went to Germany, to fight Germany. So that shows you right there what the goal was. The goal was to get into war with Germany. Japan was just an afterthought.
If you read about Dresden, it makes you sick. There was no weapons in there. There wasn't even a Daisy BB gun there. And these guys went in there with everything, and, you know, firebombs, and murdered that whole town. And they knew there was nothing there. And look what they did to all them German people there. Women, children, old people.
That's right. You know, and they did it to 52 other cities, by the way. It wasn't just Dresden.
Well, Dresden is the one I remember.
Well, Dresden was the most innocent. But they did it to 52 other cities in Germany. So they murdered the civilians in those cities. They firebombed them and just basically cooked the people alive.
This is the Jews for you. Aren't they wonderful
people? Yeah, exactly. Well, look at who the administration people that were under Roosevelt and then under Truman. The same kind of people Biden's putting in there now. All kikes. Okay, sometimes they hide behind Anglo names or claim to be Catholics or whatever, but the DNA in their bodies is all serpent seed. Okay, so the serpent seed is making war, and they're using our tax dollars, our sons and daughters, to destroy our own people. When are our people going to finally wake the hell up?
Pastor, I'm just wondering, a whole bunch of people, including Biden and his son, being paid off billions of dollars, you know, to do the bidding of the Chinese. And here we're finding out that, as soon as Trump got in there, he said this whole thing, when this happened, it's the Chinese. You know, he's in with all those people, so he knows. And how are they taking over? They're just buying our politicians. No problem. We take your money, you know, and we give it back to you and you give us your property. This is terrible.
Everything in government is kabuki theater today. Everything is, because your government is made up of people who are not of your own kind. You cannot expect aliens to honor your traditions and your culture. That's just insanity. No other country on earth is that stupid. Only in America and the other white nations like England, that we've allowed the Jews to turn us into a nation of fools and idiots. Because no other country would do that, okay? You go to China, it's run by Chinese. You go to Vietnam, it's run by Vietnamese. You go to Sierra Leone, it's run by blacks. You go to Zimbabwe, it's run by blacks. You go to any other country, it's run by the people that live there. It's just common sense. And our founding fathers set this country up the same way. It said, very specifically, especially if you look at Federalist Paper number 2, written by John Jay, it's very, very clear. The Constitution and the founding of this country was for the white man. And only white men of high character were to be in governing positions. And it was supposed to be a very small amount of government, only a small amount, just to keep law and order. That was it.
Well, you know, if you go into South Africa, you had a small base of people, you know, and that was a very prosperous country, and it was going good. And then here come the Jews, especially when they found out there was silver there. Here they come. The next thing you know, they're talking and making the blacks feel good, putting guns on their side, doing the things that will kill the Caucasians. One of the things I saw was a flick I had a long time ago of a woman and her children being murdered by blacks. And they didn't just, you know, shoot them. They tortured them. So when you see the destruction of our country, it's usually by the Jews. They get into power, and they make us do stupid things.
Well, so, again, they can do what they do because white people become fools. All right. If we believed in our father and obeyed our father, the Jew would have no power over us. He has power over us just like Satan has power over us when we are disobedient.
Well, they're anti-Christ.
And speaking of kabuki theater, did you guys hear about the whole story about the handing of the nuclear football and how that didn't go as traditionally it should have?
Yeah, there were several articles that said that the Pentagon is not turning over to the Biden people what traditionally they turn over. They refuse to turn it over.
So what do you make of that? Is that still some hopium left for the military option, not allowing Biden and his cronies to take full control?
Well, it's a positive thing, but whether it's going to turn into anything or not, it could be more kabuki theater to keep patriots sitting there with their hopium level up. We don't know. You know, that's why I say each time we have our hopes dashed, when we think we're going to reach a milestone where we're going to see some positive thing happen, and then we're told, well, give it another week. Give it another 2 weeks. Okay, give it another week. We ran into a problem. Give it another week. Well, that's a great way to get everybody to sit on their ass while the communists get everything put in place. All right? That's why I grew up as an engineer, or a technician first, and then an engineer, and especially in the Air Force, when a bomber had faulty equipment on it, you didn't sit around and talk about it. You went out on the flight line, you got the broken stuff off the bird, you took it in, fixed it, and put it back on the plane. You didn't sit around and waste time. You didn't make up excuses. You go out and fix the damn problem. When I was in a power plant, same thing. If the power plant goes down, that means the community now has a drop on the line, and you got to get that frickin' plant running because hospitals need that electricity and homes and refrigeration units and factories and hospitals. So you don't sit around. I'm not used to that. I'm used to what my father always taught me. When you see a problem, you identify it and go fix it. You don't talk about it to death. You don't allow your enemy to have time to gather up his troops and get more things in place. If you've identified an enemy, I mean, we had generals, for crying out loud. We had Colonel Don de Grand Pré. We had General Benton Parton. We had Colonel Francis Farrell. We've had, Jesus, crimey, we've had tons of them. MacArthur himself, Douglas MacArthur and George S. Patton, both of them generals, warned us. That was decades and decades and decades ago. We had congressmen, both state and federal congressmen, trying to warn us. It's the American people. Look in the mirror. You want to know why we got the shit on our heads right now? Look in the mirror. When the hell are we going to say, I've had enough? Pick a leader. Pick a leader, folks.
You know, Pastor, when Biden pulled this crap with the money with his son, I said, this guy is on his way to prison, isn't he? I mean, that's where he should be. Well, you have somebody, that's treason. They're supposed to hang him. And here's this son of a bitch is running for president, and he makes president, and we got the facts out there that he didn't, but he stole his way into presidency. What's going on here?
Well, it's easy. What's going on is the communists are waving it in front of your face.
Well, we ought to take and hang them, too.
Well, all these things are possible if the white man decides to get off his ass and come together. That's all that's stopping it.
Hey, Dad.
And stop thinking that we have any kind of responsibility to listen to these assholes in government today. They're nothing more than traitors, liars, thieves, and deceivers. Okay, why in the world do we think we owe them any allegiance? That's what I want to know.
You've got another call, I think. I think that's.
Yeah,
right.
I see it here.
Yeah.
If I can get the damn program to work. Oh, here we go. Okay, Lane, is that you?
That would be me.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? Yahweh bless.
Well, Commander Dan, Yahweh bless. You know, I've been listening for 16 years now. I think this is maybe the third time I've ever called in. So I was listening to Gary, I believe, was talking, and, you know, he talked about how much he enjoys your show and you don't feel like maybe you're getting anywhere. I just want to tell you that I really have listened for 16 years because I enjoy what you have to say.
Well, thank you,
sir. It's very educational. And I tell you one thing, I mean, there's so many, I could talk for hours probably here, but the one thing that you do that I don't think you do enough, but it's reading Psalm 91 and explaining it as you go through.
Now, amen.
That's fantastic.
Well, we'll do that tonight then, just for you, Lane.
Yes. And there's so many more things, but, you know, it just... Not to derail the conversation or anything, but, you know, it's almost an accident that I even started listening to BYD. This was in 2004, and I guess really it wasn't an accident, but it just, Yahweh had steered me. There was a show called Steve Quayle Show, which is kind of an ugly name nowadays, but at least on this network here. But I was listening, and I'd listened to him from back in the 90s on shortwave radio, and one day I was listening, his show ended, and I normally went to some other program. I was involved with something, and guess what came on after Steve Quayle? It was By Yahweh's Design. And I started listening. Well, I'm still listening 16 years later.
Yeah, Lane,
so
thanks.
So I guess it really wasn't an accident. But, yeah, it's a crazy mess we're in. I don't know. You know, the thing is, I haven't heard anything from Yahweh other than just stay, do what you're doing, don't do anything. Don't get your panties in a wad. Don't go crazy until you hear from me. So.
Yeah. Amen. The same thing I've been told is, you know, I'm still in charge. And you're getting disappointed because you put too much faith in the arm of flesh again. You assumed that it was me behind it. And because your assumptions didn't come true, you're upset. Well, that can't be, we can't hold him accountable for that. That's just again, we were hoping that we could see some sign of righteous behavior out of these creatures, and they're just not capable of it. You know, Lane, I wanted to ask you about that. I had a discussion with men here recently, and And see, you know, I don't want to come across as being like tooting my own horn here, but let me ask you, Lane, and anybody else listening if they want to join here. I get the feeling that we're part of a very, very select or elect, if you want, group. And of the people on this earth right now that you know of, who is more honest and telling the more truth and more righteous than the folks that come on here and share on this program and outside of the program, but the same group of people? Do you know of any group that's more righteous and walks a more upright walk with the Father than our group?
No, I don't. Even some of the shows that, was mentioned a while ago by, is it Gary or Jerry? I think it's Gary was talking. I won't mention the show, but they've even kind of gone south. I thought they were kind of inspiring for a while, but this show is just, that's why I listen. I listen to the show because this is where I've learned a lot of truth about biblical things and Yahweh. In fact, this is another thing I was going to tell you about. Back in 2004, you just happened to be talking about pork. And you explained, you went on for 10 or 15 minutes, and you know, right then I quit eating pork. So listening to your show has been very important and beneficial to me, I tell you. But no, I don't know any single outlet that puts the word out, like you do and like the callers here do.
Okay, well, good. Thanks, Lane. And, you know, just wanted that input because that's the way it looks to me. I keep talking to the men not on the show sometimes. Sometimes it's on by phone or whatever. And I keep reminding them that, you know, if not us, this select group here, if not us, then who? And if it is us, then we need to organize and figure out how we're going to get whatever remnant exists right now to come out of Babylon, get out of this whole way of thinking, and maybe as a group start asking the Father to open up a door as to either a location or what he envisions for our sanctuary as the world goes up in flames, because that's what I see happening next. This whole world's going to go up in flames as we go into the final parts of the end of the age here, unless he comes back sooner than I think. You know, they're talking, they've already identified white people as the problem. They're putting out the rhetoric that if a white man has a weapon or speaks out against the Jews or whoever else is causing trouble, we're the problem. They want to stick us with this vaccination. They want to track us and chip us. So this thing's going to get ugly really, really quick.
Well, I just wanted to second what Lane is saying there. I've listened to probably 80% of your archives, which at least the stuff that's listed. I went through a phase of just binge listening to most of it. Then it got around to 2017. You started posting a ton, so I had to kind of skip around. But I look for consistency, and on every other Christian identity or faith-based, preacher that I've tested, I found inconsistency. I found at some point they doubled back on what they were saying in a way that I couldn't overlook. And I haven't found that here. So just wanted to reiterate that. I agree with what Lane was saying. And as you're seeing, I don't know if you're seeing the chat, Dan, but myself included, several people in the chat quit pork as a result of your show. Looks like Henry, maybe Ralph as well. So, that was the first I ever heard of it, was one of your or many of your episodes. So it's doing some good for sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's what I do it for, hopefully. And I know Angel that I see is in with us tonight. She's told me that same thing. She's changed her diet, and it's had tremendously good effect. Everybody I know that has quit eating that pissy pork. is seeing a benefit. I know I did personally, but you know, It's such a disappointment when the people you love, I'm talking about my close family and friends and all, how many of them still eat that damn stuff and they just can't break it? No matter what you tell them, no matter how much evidence you show them, it reminds me of Christ when he said, you know, I could come in here with volumes of evidence, just like the American people. We got volumes of evidence of criminality in this past election. And yet the enemy just keeps progressing because the people don't rise up. We're afraid. We're afraid to be violent. We're afraid to take up arms. Yeah, we've been neutered, so to speak, is what some people would say. We've been basically dehorned. The Bible calls it being dehorned. We've had our power taken away, because if we can't stand up and defend ourselves, then what are we?
Yeah.
Let me throw something in. It sounds a little weird. You might think I'm crazy, but you know, the Hell's Angels. You don't mess with those guys. Now, I know they do a lot of illicit drugs and sell this and that, but you know, those guys stand up and you know, they mean what they say, and they say what they mean. You know, those are kind of like the last of anybody I can think of that are really like Vikings nowadays. But take that as you will. But it's, you know, men, those guys, you know, they might live today and die tomorrow, but that's living, you know.
Well, that's the principle that they live by. That's that we should learn from is just the fact that they stick up together, and if you hurt one of them, you hurt all of them, and they'll all come after you. One of my family members said that one time, long time ago, when we were having some trouble with a neighbor, and he basically told the guy, he said, if you mess with my cousin, you mess with the whole family, and one of us will get you. That's all you need to know. Don't need to know how, we don't need to tell you when, but you can count on the fact that one of us will get you. So you make up your mind if you think it's worth dying for. So, you know, it's just as simple as that. Coming together as a family. Our people don't think of each other as family anymore. And that's the part I'm trying to get to into the heads of our people. We are a family, for God's sakes. I don't care what state you live in. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care what country you're in. If you're of the DNA of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then you're cousins. We're all part of the same family. When are we going to start thinking like a family? We're being destroyed because they were able to get us to stop thinking like family. White neighbor, you picked on me. When you raped my neighbor's daughter, you raped my daughter. I will see to it that you pay.
Dan, there's one thing that happened to that scenario. Very good scenario, but all of a sudden, the blacks are our brothers, the Mexicans are our brothers, the ragheads are our brothers. You know, they say this in the churches, you know, they say all this kind of crap. So we're sitting there now, we're confused on who our brothers are.
Well,
I think this is the issue. We've been dummied down.
We've also had prostitutes behind the pulpit preaching a false doctrine.
That's right.
That's where that comes from, you know. And again, if you look up that word of brother in the Greek language, adelphos, a means from, delphos means the womb, okay? So the very word brother is a Greek word meaning racial brother. It's not any man with two legs and two arms. That's not my brother. If he didn't come from the womb of Sarah, which is the great ancestor, Abraham and Sarah are great ancestors. And if they didn't come from that womb, then they're not my brother. If they don't believe in Messiah, then they're not my spiritual brother. So you can be my racial brother, but you might not be my spiritual brother if you don't believe in our faith, if you don't have a faith in our Creator. And I don't know how anybody with a brain that even remotely functions cannot be a believer in a creator. I mean, go read the book, Signature in the Cells. It's written by a PhD. with the modern electron microscopes and all the ways that they can go down to the very intricacies of the cell, they're finding out that just one cell, you've got trillions of cells in your body, trillions. One cell has more information and operates faster and better than the best quantum computer we have today. That's just one cell. And people are going to tell me that that happened by accident? You have to be a complete fool to think that we're here by accident. And if we're not here by accident, then that means we're here by intelligent design or a creator. And if we have a creator, he has laws. He has rules to go by. What kind
Pastor,
of fools are we to go against those rules?
Pastor, I wanted to say something to that, and I've said this already a couple of times before. You take a black male, they're not men, because the Bible describes what men are. So you take this black male, and he has a child with his genes, that child's going to look just like him. Kinky hair, flat nose, you know, all the stuff that goes with black, black skin, that's what it's going to look like. You take a white woman and do the same thing, the child's going to come out with, if it was like the old Israelite, you know, blue eyes, blonde hair, brownish blonde, and that's what it's going to look like, both of those. Now, you mix those, now remember, those are both God's creation. He created this one to be like this, he created this one to be like this. You take the Mexican, say the same thing. You know, they usually have dark, they look like the American Indian, the true Mexicans. So now, God created those races. And that's the way he wanted them to stay. As a matter of fact, that's where I think he put Adam into the garden to keep it straight, keep the tree straight. But stay away from that tree over there, that good and evil. Okay? Because he was supposed to make sure that they all stayed in line here. But now, when they race mix, I think it's Deuteronomy 23:2 or 23:3, that says, a bastard shall not inherit the kingdom even until his 10th generation. He won't be able to go. So, and then people say, well, he is a creation of God. The Bible says he's not. He's a creation of man. That's man's creation. And God says, man's creation is a bastard. So when I look at this, you know, and all of us have to take our, you know, about ourselves and our ancestors, the ones we know of, you know, oh, my uncle is this, my aunt's this. You know, like, you don't want to brag about that too much. Because
nope.
If you're a bastard, you know, you better start repenting because now you're knowledgeable. And I would say you got to repent because to be his creation, you have to repent of somebody else's, even though the Bible says that we're not responsible for what the parents did. But there's some things when you know, he wants you to probably be knowledgeable of and talk to him about it. So when people say all this, oh, we're all the same, we're all equal, you're full of shit. Excuse my English.
Yeah.
But they are. Because that's not what he said. I've read the scriptures. There's a thing in there called the beast of the field. And they can think. They even throw dirt over their head and everything, just like the Jewish people had to do. How do they do that? I've never seen my dog do that. And you got other people in there called Canaanites. Where'd they go? The land of Nod. But where'd they go from there? And there's people mentioned in the Bible, where'd they come from and where'd they go? The Israelites were scattered, but they still have to be somewhere.
Hey, Gary. I'm just curious, Gary, do you have Elka typing while you talk? Because somehow you put up a chat while you were talking. I thought that was excellent multitasking.
I'm typing.
She's listening.
Yeah.
She's on the other phone over there. She's over on the computer. She stays busy doing that stuff. She writes up a lot of stuff. She had the county board of supervisors, one of them, come over yesterday. We're all standing in the group. Comes over and talks to her about what she's doing. The way he voted on something, she says, you know, we just a lot of us got around him and we put him into office. She's basically saying, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Then he explained why he's doing it. But he come over to her. So it impressed me a little bit, you know. At, look how important my wife is. I got an ego sometimes. And he was talking to her about that. And then I told him right there, I said, this is a woman from Germany, and her friends from Germany, they get together and they do this. I says, these are people from Germany. Where's our American women?
They've been bought off by the media. Anybody watching too much of the media today, their brains are just, they don't function anymore. I have noticed that.
She doesn't watch TV.
Well, I know that. I'm saying these people that are not getting involved are TV watchers. These people that don't see the forest for the trees are TV watchers. Any other flat screen watchers. They're all electronic toilets.
And I'm saying she doesn't watch TV because when I want to watch TV, you know, she gets on my case and she goes, why do you think that Pastor Dan calls it a toilet, electric toilet, or some of the other preachers you listen to? She listens to Pastor Peters a lot, too, and he's sort of a straight shooter.
Oh, yeah. Pastor Pete's gone now, yeah.
Too bad he's not here today.
Pastor Pete was one of the first guys to open my eyes through a cassette tape. A fellow gave me three Pastor Pete sermons. Two of them were on the food laws, and one of them was on basic identity. And that got me started. So Pastor Pete, I give credit for getting me started. We did come to blows over the seed line doctrine later on, but that was the only place that we disagreed. So,
at the end of his life, he did recognize some of the seed line. He was stubborn.
Yes, he was. Well, he's a cowboy. He was a cowboy from Colorado. So, you know, he was, him and Ted Weiland, I knew Ted too, but they're cowboys, okay? So, and proud men. But, you know, he didn't give an inch. You know, I was at one of his conferences and we had a disagreement and he basically took me to task and, didn't back down. I didn't back down because I said, look, Genesis 3:15 is like as plain as the nose on your face. I don't understand how you can not see it. Not only that, but look in the world around you. Tell me it's not true. We got two seed lines here. How could you not see it? But I let that go because we agreed on everything else, and I got to meet Richard Kelly Hoskins there, and Pete Peters had General Benton Parton from the United States Air Force come and speak to us. So Pete did a lot of good stuff. And Scriptures for America did a lot of good stuff, too.
They're still doing it.
They're still doing it. That's right, because I get emails from the folks that that took over after Pete passed away. But the point of it is that, you know, and that's what I told Pete. I said, you know, you need to tell your guys to back off. I said, because the whole barracks that I was staying in, full of men, jumped all over me. And I said, I'm a brother here, okay? I'm on your side. And I'm allowed to disagree with you, okay? You need to tell your guys to back off. We disagree on that verse and the interpretation of that verse, and you're overlooking all the stuff that we agree on and the fact that we're brothers, and you're going to let that divide us, the fact that we disagree on that? I said, that's shameful.
Huh? I think you come around at the end that there must be two C's because of what he could see out there. But Pastor Pete, I have to agree with you. He was tough all the way. I went to a conference that he was at up there in L.A. And he had this rubber snake, and it was sitting on the shelf, by his speaker thing. And I said, looky here, snake. And I picked it up, he took it and he threw it on the ground and was stomping on it. And he says, that's what you do with a snake. I'll never forget that. He had his cowboy boots on. He's stomping all over that snake. And
yeah.
You can see him doing that. You know, he had his cowboy hat on and everything, jumping all on that snake. But he was, what killed him is what people told him not to do. Stop eating so much meat. The man was a cattle rancher. So you know he ate a lot of meat. Meat is not, red meat is not good, especially a lot of it, for the kidneys. And he died of a kidney disease. But he ate a lot of red meat.
Elka, I didn't realize there were, we were talking to both of you, but I guess Elka wanted me to mention that in San Diego, they've declared, what is it, racism as a public health crisis.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And I've read that elsewhere. I hadn't heard of that in San Diego. That's amazing.
Well, it's a health crisis to the wicked. So you have to understand, when they say things like that, they're saying it's a health crisis to the people doing Satan's work. And we are a health crisis to them, because I've said it for 21 years. If I get a chance, I'm going to put them all on the ground. I'm going to burn them all to a crisp. But I'm not going to go out by myself and become a martyr. But if Yahweh ever gives me the power to put them in the dirt, that's right where they're going to go, right in the dirt.
You know what? And this brings me to a point that has reoccurred in my head that we've probably touched on before, which is twofold, I guess. The reason we're so separate, and at least in my area or other areas, amongst all these people who are really our enemies, is one, if we were all together in a single location, that would make their work easier. And the other thing is, the second point is that maybe we're here for that moment when that call is made and we actually have to do a bunch of work, like you're saying.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that on the program before, that possibly, you know, Father said he scattered us like salt, okay? Well, salt doesn't have much of effect if you put it on one little square centimeter of your steak. If that's where you put all your salt, it's not going to have any flavor. So you scatter the salt all over your meat, and you scatter the salt all over the earth to have an effect. We have a preserving effect, just like salt. So that's why we're scattered. And it does another thing, too. It also is a form of protection. Like you said, we'd make the job easier for them if we were all in one spot. But we do know, according to Scripture anyway, that at some point he's going to gather us in. And I believe that's for the great day of the great battle between good and evil, when that Ezekiel 37 army rises up out of this ocean full of mental retards we call white people that are walking the earth. They got their heads up their asses. Okay, if they finally pull their heads out and take a look around and see that we're on the verge of being driven into extinction, we're being disenfranchised in our own lands, and we have nothing but traitors in government positions, maybe, just maybe, if we could do that and come to our senses and agree upon leadership, and that we'll give that leadership our allegiance and not this antichrist governmental system, we can make a change. We can change this whole earth. In fact, Scripture says the whole earth is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. Gee, I wonder if that's what it's talking about. You think?
Yeah.
Well, that it's a useful reminder. I don't think I've heard the last of it, and I appreciate it every time I hear it, because it enables me to breathe easier.
Well, at some point we're going to get our act together, and we have to, because that's what we're here for. But also, the whole world is in desperate need of it, and they're sitting around wondering, when are the white guys going to get their shit together? Okay? When are they going to stop playing games, playing virtual warrior, bitching at each other, sticking knives in each other, claiming nobody has a right to do this or that? Wonder when they're finally going to put all that to the side, identify their enemy, and come together and defend the people they love. And in the meantime, while they're doing that, they're going to make everything better for the rest of us on this earth, because implementing Yahweh's law makes the whole world work better, and it's better for everybody that's here.
Also, I think the first step to what you just said is important to highlight, which is recognizing how much we do love each other, because I think that gets overlooked. You know, Henry says empathy is our greatest weakness. I think what we do a lot of is put our own kin down in place of the other, and it's short-sighted. I don't think people realize that if things were to get ugly, they'd be looking for people with the same suit, the skin suit. They'd be looking for those people, and they would be relieved when they saw them. It's that simple. We do actually love our own when that time comes. I think that will be evidence.
Right. And I want to let Lane know that just as you're getting something from me, I get something from you guys too. Right here to my right on my wall, it's been here for a long time, I've got two notes that Lane sent me. One was in January of 2019, and the other one here was sent to me in July of 2018. And these are little notes that you wrote to me of encouragement and saying basically what you said tonight. So, Lane, and all the rest of the people that do contact me and send me notes and whatnot, I do appreciate them. And I usually paste them on my wall here so that when I get down, I just look over and read those, and they usually bolster me quite a bit. So that's why I say I'm not disappointed in our group, and I'm not disappointed in my Heavenly Father at all, but I am greatly disappointed in mankind in general, and particularly the people that call themselves Americans. Constantly talking about the land of the home of the free and of the brave, and yet act like a bunch of retards. I mean, just absolutely no morality, no integrity, no character, just unbelievable. Unbelievable the way we behave, what we accept. We don't hold anybody accountable, and we let the misfits of this world dictate policy, teach our children in our schools and universities, which is all just insane from where I'm standing. I just sit here with just reeling. It's like completely insane. We don't have much common sense anymore. We really don't. It's just.
Well, Commander Dan, let me just tell you, you don't get enough, you know, good recognition and compliments to what you deserve. I tell you, it just really, after Gary said something, I said, man, I got a call now. It just was a fire lit under me. I hadn't said anything encouraging to Dan in so long. I first time I think I've ever called in, I think two times back in the way 15 years ago. But no, you deserve it. And like I say, I think there's a lot of people on these talk shows, and they just don't know how to talk. They never take a breath. They just, you know, you've got the voice. You know when to stop. You know when to pause. You know when to emphasize something. Even if you're reading like Psalm 91, you're not just reading it all the way through. You stop and you enunciate and you explain and talk about the owl protecting with the pinions around the little ones, and you know.
Yeah, I love that story.
Everybody just, I mean, hardly anybody knows. It's a gift. I guess is the short way of saying what I'm trying to say. You have a gift for it, and that's why I'm still listening 16 years later. So anyway, I'm going to go back to listening right now, because I normally just sit here and absorb like a sponge, so I'm not really adding too much anymore anyway, but I do hear all the shows. I've missed. If I miss a show, there's a good reason for it. I'll put it that way.
All right, Lane. Hey, I appreciate it very much, buddy. All the years of being there, being in my corner, I appreciate it greatly. So Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
All right, Lane, out there in Texas. But it's, oh, man, I'm just beside myself. I guess part of my frustration is, and as Lane has said, you know, I feel like the Father's given me these tools, okay? You know, he gave me the internet. He gave me the three-monitor command center. He gave me a voice and a memory and a certain amount of IQ. And these are all wonderful tools, but I don't feel like I'm accomplishing enough. I really don't. It's like I see a vision. I keep thinking of that verse in Proverbs where it says, my people suffer from a lack of vision. Well, I don't have a lack of vision. I've got a vision. I'm suffering because I can't make the vision come to pass. And I constantly ask for forgiveness for being impatient, but it's like I want that vision now because that vision is paradise. That vision is the earth operating as our Father intended because I see it clear as day. And this thing that we call this world, the way it operates right now, ain't it, folks. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing in this world out here that's doing it right. Almost nothing. It's all anti-Christ. It's all anti-Yahweh. From the way we make our food, our water, the way we treat our families, the way we our marriage, everything that we have operating in this society runs counter to his law. And I see that. And I want to fix it. But I can't. I can talk about it. I can interview folks to get the truth out there, which is important. But I'm at that point in my life. I don't know how many more years I've got. It's like I thought I would see it come to pass during my lifetime, and that's what I've asked for. I want to see this come to pass before I pass over Jordan. I believe that's what I was created for. I believe that's why I've been down all the roads that I've been down and learned the things that I've learned, is so that I can be some kind of a vessel for him to use to bring this to pass during my lifetime. And I struggle because it just doesn't seem to be moving fast enough. But that's just the human nature. I'm impatient. I want it now. I'm like a spoiled child when it comes to that. I see this beautiful world as it could be, living under his law, and how much of a benefit that would be to all of mankind. And yet people just, they treat it like it doesn't exist. They treat it like it's inconsequential. And it just drives me crazy.
Well, Dan, you are at least playing you're seeing yourself as impatient. Seems probably to some of us, I'll speak for myself, as extreme patience for 20 years. But what you're doing is it's like a seamstress or something. You're connecting the dots. For me anyway, dots I didn't have a way of connecting prior to finding your message, they're being connected in a way that just lines everything up. So sounds like that might be a similar experience for some other people in the chat. And you're connecting us as dots. So I'm happy anytime I hear Gary's voice. Henry is the reason I ever called in. We got John on there, Ralph, I haven't heard his voice yet, and now we got Lane, so I'm super happy when a new voice comes through, because it adds a lot of fire for me personally, so I would argue that you're not, or that things aren't moving, because I think they are. I think there's reason to see just what goes on in your show as real progress, because it's helping people like me to articulate in our imagination, or in my imagination, the kind of vision that was before unacknowledged. So anyway, there's just that.
Well, hallelujah. And again, that's why I started the show, to be a platform for truth tellers in whatever area, and also as a platform for us to share as brethren, because in the council of many there is victory. So I don't believe any one of us has all the answers, but I do believe that when we work in concert as a team, we can solve any problem. And through the years, as I've grown, this pool of resources that I've got around me has grown and grown and grown, I get tremendous input from all kinds of people on all kinds of levels. So, and I got to give everybody credit. I can't name them all because it would take me a half hour to name everybody. But the point of it is they need to know that they are, who I am is also who they are, because I am the product of their inputs. All these different men and women that have a different outlook, different life experience, when we discuss things, that adds to my knowledge because I don't discount anybody's opinion. Even if I disagree with them, I don't discount it. I run it through the computers. I put it into my brain and I roll it around and I'll pray over it sometimes because I often ask the Father, if I'm wrong, chastise me. I got no problem with that. I don't want to be wrong. So if I'm disagreeing with a brother or sister over an issue and they seem to be really adamant about it, there's oftentimes I'll go to the Father and say that. Correct me. If I'm wrong, then make it clear to me because I'll apologize and I'll change the way I think. But it doesn't happen that often, I'll have to admit, because a long time ago I decided before, well, actually the Father kept me from being on the radio for 7 years. He put me through a 7-year period of doing nothing but study before I ever got a chance to voice, whether in personal meetings or on the radio. So it was during that 7 years, I spent almost every night after work digging into books and learning as much as I could because I couldn't get enough. This message makes too much sense. This message was answering all of the tough questions I ever had and all of my friends had. And it was very difficult for people to put it down because it does. It's very simple. It's to the point. It makes sense. It's logical. It fits in with Occam's razor. All of that, and that to me was just wonderful because I didn't like not knowing or not, I don't like being deceived. I guess that's the way I want to say it. So it's been quite a journey, and I really do appreciate everybody all through the years that's come and gone. Some of them have gone, but, you know, we've had some really, really wonderful people that were part of this project, and you know, glory be to the Father that somehow, some way, this is all going to play a part here in the end to bring us to the point where we will subdue the wicked. We will grind them under our feet, and we will free mankind from the bondage that they have been in by these wicked assholes. Excuse my French, but it's just the way it is. They are demonic, satanic, evil to the core. And I can't wait to see them be put to the torch. Just consume them and turn them into ash, that they be gone, and then we can build a beautiful world again for everybody that's left. I think it would be wonderful. But I think we're past the two-hour mark. Wow, that went fast. Let's see, Lane, I got his closing comments. Gary, did you have anything else before we shove off for tonight, bud?
Well, Pastor, I think it was a great show. You talk about what's here. That's what makes it lively. God has blessed you with when you still there?
Yeah.
God has blessed you with the ability to keep conversations interesting. You know, that's why we just sit and we can listen to what you have to say because God has blessed you with that. So, I want to praise God for that, you know, by knowing you for that. Actually, Elka was the one that introduced me to your radio show a long time ago. And ask that God keep blessing you. And we learn some new stuff here pretty soon, I hope.
Yeah. Yahweh. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Gary, and thanks to Elka both. Yahweh bless you guys.
Okay.
All right, Adam, I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 91 here in a minute. Did you want to have any closing comments now or wait till after I read it?
I'll just end with two comments from the chat, and then you can do the thing. So John says, Dan, you are a watchman on the wall. Yahweh knows what you are doing for him and one another. He will reward you richly, and it is the most important thing, so keep it up.
Wow, thank you. That's tremendous.
Yeah, that's from John. And then Henry says that you personally led him to the Israel identity and Yahweh. So it's just a little bit of appreciation night, I think. So, yeah, and then Ralph wants you to read Psalms 91 and Psalm 83, I guess.
Oh, and okay.
If anyone is interested, I'll open up my account if anyone wants to jump in there and chat, you know, open forum. I'll just leave it open if anybody cares to do that. So that's it for me.
All right, Adam. Again, thanks a lot for co-hosting and for joining us on the call.
Always happy to do it. Yahweh bless. Thanks, Dan.
Yep, Yahweh bless. It's pretty interesting. I like Adam is an example of what I've been talking about for a long time. He's a young man. He's very close in age to one of my sons, and he's coming up to speed rapidly. So it's, you know, for us old geezers, it's nice to see when the young blood comes in there and picks up the ball and runs with it like these guys are. My sons, well, actually two of my sons are that way. Actually three of my sons are that way. And then Adam and some of the other young people like Matt and a few others. So hallelujah for that. Well, Ralph put in a request, and I haven't done it in a while, so you know it'd be really good to do that, I think. Psalm 91 is a soldier's psalm, and since we're in a war, I think it's only fitting that we do that. We should pray it often, as a matter of fact. The 91st Brigade in World War I used to say, and here again, our people, when they come into one accord, they're almost invincible. The 91st Brigade agreed to say the 91st Psalm. Each man in the brigade would say that on a daily basis. The 91st Brigade was in some of the heaviest fighting in World War I. And if I remember the story correctly, the 91st Brigade, I believe, had zero losses or near zero losses. And yet the other units sometimes suffered as much as 40 to 50% casualties. World War I was an ugly, ugly war. But the power of prayer, the power of trust in our Father, you cannot underestimate it, folks. So Psalm 91, being the soldier's psalm, is for Yahweh's people. Psalm 83 is an imprecatory psalm against our enemies. And we'll read that one after we read Psalm 91. But he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. We will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim God, in whom I trust. And this is the point where Ralph was talking about. I usually tell the story about the bird that the firefighters found, the forest firefighters. And I haven't said that in a while. It's just a beauty. It almost brings tears to my eyes every time I think about it. The story is the firefighter, after the fire had been died down and everything, he was walking through the forest, and they were looking for any kind of smoldering things going on. And he happened to look, and he saw this. It was a big bird, like an owl. And he saw the bird, and it was just standing there on the ground underneath this where a tree had been. And he thought it was kind of curious. He thought, you know, this bird, why is it just sitting there like that? So he approached the bird, and he realized the bird was dead. And he was getting ready to walk away, and he heard a noise, a little chirping noise. And here the chicks were under the wings of the mother bird. And even though the mother bird was gone, the chicks were okay. And it reminds me of this psalm. Because we are like his little chicks. And boy, oh boy, today of all days, it's more apparent than ever how much we need that protection. So even though there's a raging fire going on around us, we sit under his wings, or as it says here, under his pinions or his feathers. Verse 3, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. And again, if we just listened to him, we wouldn't have pestilence, would we? If we were eating organically and naturally. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will take refuge. And there, that's the verse right there. So I was wrong with the one up above. His faithfulness is your shield and rampart. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, like thieves and gangsters and gang members, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. So that's the part that our soldiers and many of our people in distress, they need to read that often. Okay? You're going to see, just like today, right now, you know, we're hearing about people in the cities and people that are near these gangs and people that are being accosted by these liberals and Antifa and everything else. But Yahweh's people that are obeying him, they're keeping themselves away from these kind of people. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. So here again, we're at the end of the age. What's he telling us to do? Come out of Babylon. He didn't say conquer Babylon. That comes at the very end, but when Babylon is first being identified and set up, he says to come out of her so that you do not suffer her plagues. Because you have made Yahweh your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. So right there is your COVIDiots' proof that they have no faith whatsoever. Okay? I go out, and I've gone out from day one. I've always gone out. I do whatever I'm going to do. I don't worry about it because I believe in that. The plague is not going to come near me. My immune system is running at 110%. I'm not going to worry about it. For he will put angels or messengers in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent underfoot. Serpent seed, these people. Like I said, if our people were obeying our father, these Jews, these sons of perdition, couldn't do a damn thing to you. Because he has set his love on me, this is David speaking, therefore I will deliver him. Right, this is Yahweh. I'm sorry, it's Yahweh speaking here. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. He will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. So that's the reward we're supposed to have. We often talk about Adam having 120 years. We're supposed to be rewarded with long life, not short life. So don't give the enemy more credit than they deserve. So now we're going to go over to Psalm 83. This one's about the same length. Yahweh God, do not keep silent. Do not keep silent and do not be still, Yahweh God, for behold, your enemies are stirred up. Those who hate you have lifted up their heads, meaning that they got haughty, proud, they're full of themselves. They got too much chutzpah, too much hubris. They conspire with cunning against your people. They plot against your cherished ones. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, meaning a race of people, that the name of Israel, Jacob Israel, may be remembered no more. Are they not trying to get rid of our culture and our heritage today? For they have conspired together with one mind. They form an alliance against you. I think that's called a conspiracy. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites. Ooh, Jews and Arabs working together. How about that? To the detriment of Yahweh's people. Moab and the Hagrites. Gebal, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Do to them as you did to Midian, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as dung on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb. Yes, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let's take possession of Yahweh's pasture lands. My Elohim God, make them like tumbleweeds, like chaff before the wind. As the fire that burns the forest, as the flame that sets the mountains on fire, so pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your storm. There's the storm that's coming, folks. Fill your faces with confusion, fill their faces with confusion, that they may seek your name, Yahweh. Let them be disappointed and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be confounded and perish, that they may know that you alone, whose name is Yahweh, are the Most High over all the earth. Hallelujah. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of these man-made solutions for our problems today, I've questioned them, because they don't give credit to our Father. It's pretty clear that the solutions that are going to come, the punishments on the wicked and the restoration of things, can only come in such a manner as the Father gets the credit. If it doesn't come in, if it doesn't do that, then it's not of Yahweh. So something to think about. So again, I apologize for not being in the my usual upbeat mode and all that, and I do appreciate all the fine words that were said. Means a lot to me. It really does. I just, again, I was just so disappointed. I thought by today we'd have seen more honor and more integrity and more courage out of our military and our leaders. All they did today was prove just what cowards and kabuki theater players they are. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for giving us 21 years to preach your word and tell the truth and to share in fellowship and to build up our bonds of brotherhood together. We've been scattered. We've been dismembered, basically, by our enemies so that we no longer think as a group. We no longer think of as a blood family. And as Malachi chapter 4 talks about, that is part of what we're supposed to do today. We're supposed to come into remembrance of who we are, where we've come from, and where we can go. The enemy's done everything they can to take that away from us, to distance us from our heritage and from our ancestors and from you. So we who do recognize that that's what they're doing and hold tight to your hand, we ask your blessing, we ask your protection and your guidance. And like those little chicks in the forest, we are hiding under your wings, Father, because you are the mighty one, you are all knowledge and power, and you are the only thing that can protect us in this wicked world that we have today. We give no credibility, we give no faith and courage to our enemies, we have no doubts about who we are, we also do not doubt that they mean to do harm to us, but we also know that you have told us, as it says in Psalm 91, that you'll watch out for us, and we'll see a lot of things happening, and many people fall to the lies and deceptions just as they are now. The ones that are getting vaccinated are being harmed by it. The people with the masks on their face are being harmed by it. Give us the strength to stand tall and to not do those things, and open up doors for us to get around all of the weapons and the intrigues that our enemy throws at us. We again thank you for us being here at this time in history. We know that this is a perilous time, but at the same time, we're on the threshold of a new beginning, a new world that will glorify you and your holy name and bring about your law upon this land and dash to pieces this whole nonsensical idea that man can rule over man. We are not fit to do that. Never have been and never will be. So again, we ask for your blessing, we ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings and our foibles, and we ask for protection from our enemies. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.